The Bible readings this morning are from Matthew 12 and selected verses from Proverbs. Firstly, Matthew 12, verses 33 to 37, which can be found on page 978 if you are following in a church Bible. Jesus is speaking. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you, that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your word you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And now five selected verses from Proverbs, which I will read without giving the page numbers. Firstly, Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. Proverbs 17:27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Buzz, for reading God's word to us. And as David said, we're continuing the sermon series aimed at encouraging us to use words well, so that our words bring glory to God. It's a nice, simple theme, really, for the whole series, but so deep. Well, this week, Sam has asked me to preach on the theme, Words of Wisdom. And I wondered, because I'm the oldest of the preachers in this particular series, that he perhaps thinks I'm wise. And maybe he thinks that words of wisdom are going to flow from my lips over the next 20 minutes or so. Well, you know, he probably should have asked my wife Eilish before asking me, because just pretty recently, actually, I was trying to express my love for Eilish. And I was saying, Jacob was there, so he witnessed this sadly, but I was saying, I'm thankful for your beauty and your kindness and a number of other things. But the word I had in my head as well was curves. But the word that came out wasn't curves, it was round. And I found out that was not the wisest of words that I've ever spoken. So maybe I should just go now. But what we say and how we say it, well, it really matters. If we're followers of Jesus, we're called to be distinctive in all areas of our lives, including with the words we use. So our choice of words is really important. We know, as we heard from Matthew's gospel, that Jesus has high expectations, saying that what comes out of our mouths should bear good fruit. That's another way of saying gives glory to God. In verse 36, Jesus says that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty, that sort of careless word that they have spoken. Now, I don't want my words to be empty or careless or destructive or genuinely unhelpful at all. Do you? I'm sure you don't. So what do we do about it? Well, on our own, we can do nothing, the same as anything in our life. We need the Lord's help. And in verses 34 and 35 of that Matthew reading, Jesus gives us a clue about the answer. He says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man or good person brings good things out of the good stored up in them." And the heart here, as often in the Bible, it means our mind, our soul, our spirit, all of our inner being that makes us tick. So how do we go about filling our hearts with good so that the words that come out of our mouth are wise and good as well? Well, if we're hoping for words of wisdom to come out of our mouth or from our pen or onto a digital screen or whatever it happens to be, obviously we're going to need some wisdom. And the Old Testament book of Proverbs is a great place to go for helping us bring together two key factors that we need to grow in wisdom. Firstly, our relationship with God. And then secondly, how to apply what we learn from that relationship with God in the everyday comings and goings of our life. That's general wisdom, but the writer of Proverbs also has a load to say about the use of wise words. In Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 19 to 19, the writer lists seven things that God hates or detests. And three of those, nearly half of them, are concerned with the wrong use of words. So it's not surprising that the instruction in Proverbs is full of how to use words well. Our world is full of people who have got loads to say and want as many people to find out about it, and there's social media particularly. But often those words lack wisdom. And more often, those words lack biblical wisdom. What do I mean specifically by biblical wisdom? I mean instruction to live life well on God's terms, as set out by God in his word in the Bible. Or, because Jesus is the revelation of God's word in the flesh, a biblical wisdom is to live life following Jesus, to be like Jesus, to live his way in his truth. So as we look together to find better ways of speaking words of wisdom, let's use those five proverbs that Boz read for us earlier as our sort of guide through the rest of the sermon. And firstly, fear the Lord. Proverbs 9 verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Proverbs contains loads of practical advice about all sorts of things that can only be fully applied if we fear the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we should be scared of God. It means that he wants us to have an intimate relationship with him, a relationship of awe and reverence and respect, but also a relationship of love and trust and dependency and submission. We get that relationship because of what we know about God. The English word Lord, in capitals in our Bibles in English, as used in the fear of the Lord, is the personal name of God, Yahweh. And it's used in the Old Testament to emphasize that this is a relationship with the God who wants to be known. He wants relationship with us. To know God is to be in a right relationship with him. And as the verse says, that fear, that relationship, is the beginning of wisdom. Not a beginning that you sort of move from onto a next step, but a beginning like a foundation of relationship for everything else that we do and that we say. When we fear the Lord, he transforms us. He produces wisdom in us. He produces the ability for us to know what's right and what's true, and then in turn for the ability for us to discern what's right and true as we use words with biblical godly wisdom that will impact others for good and will give glory to Jesus, will bear fruit for Jesus. The foundation of godly wisdom, including that desire to speak wise words, words of wisdom, is to know and fear the Lord. And for us today, that means knowing Jesus. That means believing and trusting in him, in his majesty, in his love, in his power, shown for us on the cross and through his resurrection. Secondly, guard your heart. Proverbs 4 verse 23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." So we won't get anywhere without trust and dependency on Jesus. But our relationship with him is two-way. He's amazingly gracious and blesses us with the ability to communicate with words. But he expects us to work at the relationship. And that means guarding our heart. Discipline what we take in so that it won't undermine our relationship with Jesus. Guard your heart for everything you do. So that includes what we say and how we use words. Everything we do flows from it. Isn't it striking how similar that is to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, when he said, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." If we have a desire for our mouths to speak words of wisdom, to be distinctive and glorify Jesus in our words, then our hearts need to be full of things that equip us to grow our relationship with Jesus and increase in godly wisdom. And that's not going to happen if we spend loads of our time watching certain things, reading certain things, playing certain online games, going to certain activities, including work, too much work or too much study. Anything that's going to divert our heart from the truth. It's essential that we do all we can to fill our heart with God's words, to guard it. Reading the Bible, coming to church, listening to podcasts, joining together in small groups, maybe two or three of the Bible study, a bigger home group, reading Christian books, all of these things. That's why organisations like Open Doors go to such lengths to get Bibles and Christian resources out to our brothers and sisters in persecuted countries, you know, where they're persecuted for their faith, where they have to worship in secret. We have so much and we use it so little. None of these things I mentioned are bad, but we need to have good boundaries, strong security around our hearts. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can often look back on a day and we haven't made time to ponder on God's word and fill our hearts with his wisdom. And yet we manage to find time to do other things. Not necessarily bad things, as I said, but things that might be less good for our hearts. Boundaries may not be about quantity of time, they could be about content. Let me give you an example for myself, personal. Just recently, I read a book by a first of a series by an author I'd never heard of. It was a Kindle freebie, you know, Amazon Kindle freebie. And I realised that when I'd read it, that some of the words, some of the images were sticking with me. And I thought I could end up using those words or words in the wrong way. So I decided I'm not reading any more by that author in that series. Just a small thing, but a boundary to guard my heart. The Bible will help us guard our hearts and speak words of wisdom. So fear of the Lord, developing an ever closer relationship with Jesus and putting in disciplines that help guard our heart. They're the foundations. Now let's look at the three specific examples where the writers in Proverbs give us instructions to use words of wisdom that bear fruit for Jesus. Words that have eternal value. And firstly, true words. The verse we looked at earlier in the family activity, Proverbs 12, verse 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. God hates lies. He detests lies. David just explained it greatly earlier. God delights in truth. When we speak truth, when we're transparent and straightforward, when we don't embellish, when we don't exaggerate, when we maintain integrity, we honour God and we declare ourselves as distinctive people for him. And he delights in that. God detests lying lips. They cause so much damage. Look what's going on at the moment. You know that reporter for the BBC. Look at the damage that's been done there. And look at the damage that continues to be done the way that the BBC have handled it. The writer of this proverb astutely reminds us of the connection between truth and trust. Trust in the BBC is severely damaged, isn't it now? You know, the next time they say we really are telling the truth, will we believe them? As Christians, we're called to consistently speak truth. Be reliable in carrying out what we say we will do. Speaking honestly into a situation. whether that's to encourage or whether that's to rebuke, whether that's to sort of criticise constructively, if you like, so that we gain people's trust, but with integrity. And you can see why God would delight in this. When Christians stand out as truth tellers and consistent in the truth, and our yes really is yes, we give glory to God. We bear fruit for Jesus. It's marvellous. Followers of Jesus should be associated with trust and with truth. Am I? Are you? Sometimes truth, biblical truth, can be really hard to speak and hard to hear. But there's no value in speaking falsely to sweeten the pill, as it were, maybe that happens. Yes, how we speak truth, we need care with, depending on the circumstances that we're speaking into. But we should give the person we're speaking to the self-respect of deciding how to use the truth that we speak. Another proverb, Proverbs 16 verse 13, says that kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. Whether a king, whether a family member or a friend, a loved one, a colleague, when they ask for your view, what you should say to them needs to be the truth that you know is the truth, not what you think they might want to hear. Finally, on true words, let's speak about Jesus. Let's name Jesus the truth. True words are words of wisdom. And then secondly, apt words. Proverbs 10 verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is little value. We want to be speaking true words, but as I touched on earlier, those words of truth should be apt, they should be well considered, they should be timely, they should be appropriate for the circumstances. Words of wisdom that come from the tongue of the righteous, as it says here, that's another way of saying those who fear the Lord. Those words will speak into a situation so as to bring value and beauty, just like silver would have been for that writer. They're words that make a positive difference to a person, because what we've said is from a position of godly wisdom with godly guidance. In my experience, having said a bit about social media, I think text messages has been a great gift from God for this type of word, wise word. Sometimes I'll send a message to someone when I hear about something, but other times the Holy Spirit just urges me to send a word of encouragement, a support, maybe a word, a verse from the Bible, and then it's wonderful, it's so joyful when someone comes back and said, that's just what I needed at that time, and God gets the glory, and we are joyful. Proverbs 15:23 says that it's a person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. Maybe he was thinking of text messages, I don't know. Part of the wisdom of apt words is that the words come wrapped in an assurance that the sender, the speaker, is going to follow it up with practical help. Those words are wise. Those words have eternal value. Words for the sake of it, especially if they're just to make me look good, well, they have little eternal value. Going back to Jesus' word in Matthew 12, verse 36, we will have to give an account to him for empty words. And apt words can speak healing. Speak healing into dark and chaotic situations that people that we know are in. And they bring a sudden and a powerful surge of Jesus' light and Jesus' life. That aspect of eternal value comes through in Proverbs 15 verse 4. The soothing or the healing tongue is a tree of life. Apt words are words of wisdom. And then thirdly, controlled words. Proverbs 17:27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Self-control. essential if we're going to be people who speak words of wisdom and glorify God. I don't think King Solomon, who wrote most of the Proverbs, had a computer or a smartphone, but I wonder what he would have added if he'd known about emails and social media. Thinking about Jesus' words again, I think for me a lot of the unhelpful, aggressive, inappropriate words that Jesus is going to call me to account for are ones that I put in emails. Godly speech and godly writing requires us to pause, to ponder before we use them. So don't hit the send button. Don't post that letter. Don't pick up the phone. Don't react face to face. If the words you're about to use are coming from a place of anger or pain or tiredness or something, wait until you're calm, says the proverb, when your temper has evened out. And restrained words of wisdom will cover a whole range of different things. If you look at the Apostle Paul's letters to the Romans and Corinthians, for instance, he would say no gossiping, no slandering, and no words that cause disorder. Gossiping is not words of wisdom. And using words sparingly is likely to be beneficial in keeping our words wise and helpful. Don't say it in 100 words if you can say it in 20, because maybe it starts to be about me rather than the words I'm speaking. I was thinking when I was writing this, thinking about the PCC, and we've got people on our PCC who don't say very much very often, and then when they speak, everybody stops and listens because they know it's going to be wise and insightful. And can I just say, there's no connection between the amount of words I say at the PCC and the fact that I'm having to stand down from the PCC this year. And of course, sometimes controlled words might be no words at all. If you look at the book of Job, the story of Job, there's a lot of words spoken by Job's friends which weren't that helpful. If they'd said no words at all, it might have been more encouraging and supportive to him. Controlled words are words of wisdom. So words of wisdom are true, and they're apt, and they're controlled, and they're always underpinned by a heart guarded by the fear of the Lord. And they're always said in the hope that they will delight Jesus, that they will bear fruit for Jesus, they will glorify God. Two quick last things. Be good listeners when you've come of the people that you've come to trust as speakers of godly words of wisdom. Don't be quick to dismiss those words. Give good consideration to those words. Let them challenge you. Let them encourage you. Let them inform you. I remember when our family were out walking in the Surrey Hills some years ago now. Jacob was a bit smaller. And Jacob pointed to some barbed wire as we walk along, and I gave him some true and apt and controlled words of wisdom, but he touched the barbed wire anyway and cut his hand. It doesn't always work out, but we keep trying. I suppose Jacob would say he's wiser now, but there you go. But seriously and finally, words at their best are when we can say, as Isaiah does in Isaiah 50, verse 4, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue. And you might be thinking, well, I've got a long way to go till I've got a well-instructed tongue or be a consistent speaker of words of wisdom. I know I have. But remember, as followers of Jesus, we don't do it in our own strength, because we have the Holy Spirit working in us every single day, every single moment, every single circumstance. The Holy Spirit who came on the disciples at Pentecost, enabling them to speak words in amazing and different languages, is the same Holy Spirit who will help us to speak words of wisdom that bear fruit for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we all get it wrong so often. We say the wrong words so often. We pray and we ask and we say, Holy Spirit, would you fill us? Would you help us to fear you, to guard our hearts, and to dwell and ponder before we use and say and write words? Because we want the words that come from our lips to delight you, Lord. We want to be trustworthy people that you delight in, Lord. So that you, your name is glorified as we stand out, as we're distinctive for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.